Thou Faithful series. Introduction. Hello, I'm Lowell McGuire, brother in Christ. I wish it were possible for me to meet you and talk with you about the wonderful step you've just taken in becoming a disciple of Christ, but since that isn't possible, I'm happy that I can spend a few moments with you by means of this recording. Already now, an elder or preacher or a close friend has asked that you take this program home with you. They have done this because they love you and are interested in the welfare of your soul. They have prayed for you and maybe even with you. And now they have asked that you listen to the truths found in this series, knowing that the things you will hear will help you as you start the greatest adventure of your life, following the footsteps of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How to use the program. Before we begin, it will be helpful to understand a bit about this series and how it should be used in order that you might gain the most from it. I'm sure that you already know the great power of repetition and how we remember best what we hear repeated most often. Take, for example, the commercials on television. You listen to them day after day until it isn't long before you are singing and repeating the jingles. Another example is the way in which our children learn to talk by hearing the words consistently repeated over a period of time. And so it is even with our convictions and conduct. They too are molded by the things which our minds have heard repeated most often. This program uses this great power of repetition through cyclic replay, which means that you will listen to each recording more than once or twice. How often? Listen carefully to these instructions and fix them clearly in your mind. First, listen to side one of this record for the next 7 days. Second, read the manuscript along with the record each time you listen. Third, listen and read at the same time, if possible, each day. Finally, after you listen to side one for 7 days, then repeat the same process with side two, and so on through the rest of the program. Don't stop. At first, you may not get too much from what you hear, but do not become discouraged. Tomorrow, listen to it again and read the manuscript along with the narration. You will find that each time you listen, you will hear something that you did not hear the time before. It will be a different day, you will be in a different mood, and you will think of different things. Remember, the more you listen, the more you will gain. Let the power of repetition work for you through cyclic replay. The purpose. You may be wondering why you have been given this program and what the purpose is behind it. This series, which is called Be Thou Faithful, was developed in answer to a need expressed by the leaders in the church throughout the brotherhood. That need being to help the new convert to Christ to first understand more fully what it means to be a disciple of Christ. And second, to grow into loving allegiance to Christ. Third, to live Christ and give Christ. And fourth, to emphasize the necessity for and show the way to faithfulness unto death. Every part of this series is intended to contribute to this end. This, then, is the purpose of these recordings and their relation to you. We pray that you will use them as requested, for we know that they will help you in reaching the new goal of your new life, living eternally in heaven forever with God the Father and Jesus Christ His Son and our Savior. And now, for the next few minutes, thoughtfully and prayerfully, listen to what it means to be a disciple of Christ.
What it means to be a disciple of Christ. A disciple of Christ has heard and answered the call of Jesus. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. Thus began the invitation that is passed down through the ages to all men of every tongue, tribe, and nation. Whosoever will, may come. And you, my brother or sister in Christ, have. You heard and answered the invitation of Jesus. By simple obedience to the gospel, by complete submission to the Christ, you have become a child of God and a disciple of Jesus. All your past sins have been forgiven. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. The word disciple. You may already know the meaning of the word disciple, but let's refresh our memory of it. Around the middle of the 5th century BC, in the country of Greece, there were traveling teachers called sophists, or men of wisdom. There were no classrooms where the teaching or learning went on, but rather the students would live with and observe the teacher, asking questions of him as he went about his daily task of living. And these students were called disciples, which came from the Greek word meaning a learner. And this is what it means in the Bible. When Christ called men to follow him, he said, "Come, learn of me." Those following Jesus, then, are his students, his pupils, his disciples. More than a learner. But being a disciple of Christ is more than merely learning about Christ. Learning about him is not an end in itself, but a means to an end. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a full-grown man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, and grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. We are following Jesus for the purpose of growing up in him, that our lives might fulfill the desire of God, that we be conformed into the image of his Son. We are learning about him, not in order to become informed scholars, but in order to become transformed sinners. Discipleship means growth. We do not become like Christ immediately upon surrender of our lives to him. Rather, we begin the Christian life as a spiritual babe. The Apostle Peter said that we are newborn babes, and that we should desire the sincere milk of the Word, that we may grow thereby. How can we grow like Christ? The answer to that question is, obey the laws of growth. First, there is food. Your physical body requires food in order to grow. So does your spiritual body, your soul. Christ said, "Man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God." So we must feed upon the Word of God. Next, exercise. Not only food, but exercise is necessary for the body to grow properly. The same is true of the soul. Paul said, "Exercise thyself rather unto godliness." We must put into practice what we learn from God's Word. Time. It took time for the acorn to become an oak. It took time for the boy to become a man. And it takes time for the disciple to learn and to grow up into Christ. But of all the time that is taken to do things, no time is so well spent as this: learning and becoming like Christ. A disciple has a new name. As we read the New Testament, we see that the disciples of Christ were given a name which distinguished them from the rest of men. It is recorded that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. This name described a peculiar people, not that their appearance was so different, but that they lived in a different way. They did not desire the idle pleasures and sins that those living around them engaged in. They were often seen giving to those in need when they themselves had very little. Their love for each other was so strong that they were willing, if necessary, to die for one another. They sang when persecuted, rejoiced while suffering, loved their enemies, prayed for those who despitefully used them, went into all the world preaching that Jesus Christ was the Son of God. They could hardly talk to a neighbor or a friend or even a stranger without mentioning the name of Christ. Every thought and every deed revolved around that name. And so we read, the disciples were called Christians, which meant those who adhere or bind themselves to Christ. This, then, is the significance of the name given to the first disciples of Christ, the name which you yourself now wear, Christian. A disciple of Christ is a member or organ of the body of Christ, the church. The Bible pictures the church as the body of Christ, with Christ as its head, and each individual Christian as the members which make up the body. Paul, speaking of Christ, said, "And he is the head of the body, the church." Referring to individual Christians, he said, "Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. So we, being many, are one body in Christ." The disciple of Jesus becomes a member of the church of Christ immediately upon obedience to the gospel. A disciple of Christ denies self, desires Christ. Someone said that when Christ calls a person, he bids him come and die. In his own words, Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." This gives us another insight into discipleship. But what does it mean for you and me? Does Christ mean that his disciples must actually die on a cross the same as he? Although some of the first century Christians were nailed to crosses by persecutors, this is not what he meant. From the verse, we can see that actual physical death is not what Christ is speaking of. For one is to carry the cross and follow Jesus daily. This a dead man cannot do. What then is the answer? The answer is found in these words of the Master, "Not my will, but thine be done." The death of the disciple is the death of his will, the death of the desire to live for self and to please self, or, in two words, self-denial. The will of the servant merging with the will of the master. And never is one following so closely to Jesus as when he is denying himself in order to do the will of God. Paul wrote, "For even Christ pleased not himself." And Jesus said, "I do always those things which please him." Therefore, to be a disciple of Christ means permitting Christ to lead by total surrender of our desires to his desires for us, to be Christ-led rather than self-led. A disciple of Christ is holy. The word holy brings to mind different thoughts to different people. One may think of a building where worship is given. Another may recall a certain day of the week, while someone else remembers a pious man or a woman. Others think of God. The word originally meant separateness, or to separate. For example, a man's foot was holy in relation to his hand. It was separated. Then the word grew to include the cause for the separateness. In other words, God was separated from man. But why? Was it because of his great power or wisdom? No, For after God, through his power and wisdom, had created the world and man, he walked and had fellowship with man in the Garden of Eden. But when Adam sinned, God separated himself from man. Why? Because God is all pure, and he can have no fellowship with impurity, with sin. He is perfectly good and completely pure. Now listen to these words written by the Apostle Peter. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living, because it is written, ye shall be holy, for I am holy. Peter says that the standard or pattern of conduct for the disciples' life is the purity and goodness of God. But someone may say that no man can be as pure and good as God. This is true, but obviously this is not what the writer meant. He is saying that God is our standard. If it were possible to become pure as God, then we would become the standard ourselves. Only one has ever accomplished this, Jesus Christ, who became the express image of the invisible God, and thus the standard of conduct for those who would be holy as he is holy. Yes, a disciple of Christ can be pure and good in all manner of living. He not only can, he must. Consider these words of the Apostle Paul. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. It is God's will and the purpose of his calling that his children separate themselves from all that is evil, sinful, wrong, and impure, and devote themselves to being pure and good in all manner of living. The manner in which the Christian lives is dominated and directed by the constant thought that his aim is to someday enter into the presence of God and to have the fellowship that once was broken by sin, but now has been restored by Jesus Christ. It is for this reason that the disciple must keep himself unspotted from the world, for becoming holy is the preparation for the presence of God. The Hebrew writer said, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Therefore, as a disciple of Christ, seek, pursue, aim to be pure, good and righteous. Prepare yourself for the presence of God. A disciple of Christ bears fruit. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Fruit is the product of plant growth, and each plant produces a product after its own kind. On one occasion, Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If then Christ is the vine, and disciples are the branches, what will be the product or fruit? The answer is obvious, isn't it? The fruit of each branch will be other disciples or Christians. When Jesus called the first disciples, he told them that if they would follow him, he would make them into something. That something, as he put it, was fishers of men. The same thing is true today. As a disciple of Christ, you are to bear fruit in the Lord's vineyard by catching souls for Christ. It becomes the responsibility of each disciple to tell the gospel of salvation to those who are outside the kingdom of God and lost. The Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. And the purpose of those who follow him must be the same. A disciple of Christ loves his brothers and sisters in the Lord. The love that the disciples of Christ had for each other during the first century is something which men still marvel at today. Never in the history of the world has there ever been anything to compare with it. The Bible records that the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Some of them sacrificed so much in helping others that Paul said they gave beyond their power. The world marveled then, and it marvels today, at such love. We wonder where this kind of love could come from. For the answer, we go to one of the last commands that Jesus gave his disciples before he left this earth. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that ye also love one another. The early Christians were imitating a love that they had seen, a love that Jesus had shown for them. So much did they imitate the love of Christ in their relationship to each other that one of the historians of that day wrote, "See how they love one another and are ready to lay down their lives for each other." This love became proof to the world that they were truly the disciples of Christ. As Christ had said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." A disciple of Christ dwells in the words of Jesus. In the Gospel of John, we have the summation of what it means to be a disciple of Christ. "If ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed." To stay and dwell, to lodge and abide in the words of Jesus, this is discipleship. "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and ordained you, that ye should go and bring forth fruit. Be thou faithful."
I am the Father.